crossing over in just a few moments. Some things that I learned through that particular story, one particular truth I found out about that story. But I started telling you last week, and I think it was this service or the last service, where I talked about how this particular part, and I'm a bit of a historian or a history buff. I love history. When I was a kid, I was specifically drawn to the Civil War era. It's sort of funny how the Lord ended up planting me right here where the Civil War, basically for all intents and purposes, ended. And this was a place where God allowed our nation to be brought back together as one nation. And there was some period of reconstruction and all that, but someone asked me one time, why did you pick City Point? I picked City Point because of the historical significance of it. City Point, in its original state, was down on the right there at the corner where the Appomattox River flows into the James River. And it was at that place that the decision was made to bring our country back together as one. And I believe God is going to use someone in this area, and I believe we're a candidate for it, to bring an open heaven back to this place. And maybe through revival, bring our nation back together again. Maybe just bring Hopewell back together. And maybe through that we can bring other people alongside of us. And we can get back to the place where we know God will bless us. Anybody believe that? Just say amen. So talking about a place in the earth. And Jacob, go ahead and move to the slide with the scripture on it. We'll move pretty quickly through this. And this is the scripture I want to share with you this morning as we talk. And the prophet Isaiah, being one that was hearing from the Lord, spoke this through the Lord. The Lord spoke this through him, and it said, "Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness, and let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation." See, when God pours down his righteousness, what will happen? That means salvation. People will return to him, will come to him, and let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. So that's what we're pursuing. And we talked about last week how the Lord had a significant place in the earth where Israel crossed over. Elijah goes up and Jesus is baptized. I was able to visit that same place just a week ago or several weeks ago. And this is an area of the Jordan that is known as an open heaven. And so today I want to talk about an aspect of what will create an open heaven over your life. And I believe the first part of that, I think the key component of that is obedience to the Lord. There was a country church who was having their annual revival meetings. And on the first night, the preacher preached a message about repentance and the need to return to the Lord. And at the altar, there was a man who came to up the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." He seemed to be very sincere. And the people were very joyful that a man came and gave his life to the Lord. The next night, the preacher challenged the congregation that they needed to totally surrender their lives to Christ in complete obedience. And again, an altar call was given, and the same man came forth that night, and he shouted out, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." And again, they were excited. This continued the next night, and he gave an altar call after talking about the need to purge ourselves of sins and the evils of sin and returning to the life of holiness. And again, the invitation was given, and the same man came forward and said, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." To which one of the old saints in the back of the church yelled, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." Y'all got to laugh better than that. Come on. Lighten up a little bit. Everybody understands the story that this man was seeking forgiveness. He was seeking restoration. He was seeking a life with the Lord. But for some reason, he couldn't quite get the idea that the first thing you have to do if you're going to follow the Lord is obey his instruction. You have to follow him and what he has given you to follow in order to be successful in your life with him. And one of the things that we see in the scripture, it not only tells us that we need to do these things, it gives us illustrations on what following him looks like. And when we don't follow, what happens, and the repercussions of obedience, or the blessings of obedience and the repercussions of disobedience. And so today I want to share the story with you that I shared with you sort of a small snapshot of it last week. But I want to go more in depth end of this story. And it's a story about Joshua and the nation of Israel. Now first, before we visit this obedience scene, let's go back 40 years and visit the time when they weren't obedient to the Lord. Everybody remembers that Moses brings the nation of Israel out of captivity, and the Lord helps them to get across the Red Sea, parts the Red Sea. They see some significant things happen. They see some supernatural things happen in their lives, and they know that God is able to help them, that He delivered them from the nation of Egypt, that He destroyed the armies before them. And then the Lord brings them right to the border where they can walk into the promises of the Lord. And they sent out 12 spies, and the 12 spies come back, and two of the spies believe with all their heart that they can take the land, but the 10 complained and said, "These men are like giants before us. We are grasshoppers, and if we go, we're going to die." And then the Lord basically decided He was going to destroy them, and because of Moses, He chose not to, but because of their disobedience and not following the Lord, they had to wander around for 40 years until a whole generation dies out, so that God can have another people that can make a decision to follow Him. And so we see it's been 40 years, and the Lord again returns to Israel, and He's taken Moses to be with Him, and He's established a new leader named Joshua, who had been one of the spies that decided they could take the land, and him and Caleb were the only two that were going to be able to see the land. But they're given an opportunity to obey. And so we see that Moses has gone on, and Joshua is seeking the Lord, and the Lord comes to Joshua and He gives him instruction. Listen to what the scripture says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 7. He says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you." Now I want you to pay close attention here. I don't care how passionate they were. I don't care how humble they were. I don't care if they had all the characteristics of doing the right thing. The first qualification for an open heaven in your life is that you have to obey the Lord. You have to be obedient to the Lord. And we're going to talk about how obedience, easy to say but hard to do. Amen. And He says, "Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper." Everybody say prosper. How many want to prosper? Now how many know that God defines prosperity different than the world does? We define prosperity by bank accounts and by the size of our homes and by the model of our cars and by the places that we go on vacation and how everybody looks at us. But God defines prosperity by what's going on the inside, and He defines prosperity about the longevity of your life and the blessings of your life and what is the fruit of your life. That is what God determines as prosperity. Amen? And so He tells them, "You do what I'm telling you." And we know the instruction were that they were to take up the Ark of the Covenant and they were to put it in front of them. Now, most of you know that if you were going to cross a river, a big river that was overflowing, we would go into the Army of Engineers, wouldn't we? And we'd say, "Hey, I think, Dustin, didn't you work for an engineering program?" And they'd figure out how to build a bridge over the river or how to build boats that would get across the river. That would be the logical thing to do. Wouldn't it be that logical? He didn't tell them to go get a boat. He didn't tell them to build a bridge. He told them to get the Ark of the Covenant that was heavy, and for the priest to get in front of the nation of Israel and to step inside of the waters, and that if they did that, something good would happen. Now that is the same thing that God has called you to do something today. Here, first of all, you see in the Ark of the Covenant is the commands of God. How many know that the word of the Lord will go before you? The word of the Lord will go before you, and it will part the troubled waters of your life. But you must obey God and listen to what He says through the word. And so they bring the word into the front, and the leadership must go first. You know, it's been said that rich men start wars, but poor men fight wars. You know what I'm saying? You know, people that are wealthy, typically, you go through the history, and it's been the wealthy that have started them, but it's been the poor that have fought them and given their lives for them. Do you realize that during the Civil War era that you could pay yourself out of service? If you paid $300, I believe it is, you could not have to serve in the army. Isn't that terrible that a man that had money could choose not to die, but a man that had no money had to die? And what does God do? The first commandment, the first thing, He says, "Obey me." And He says, "Those that are leading you must go first before you." Jesus put on that same principle in his own life when he became a servant. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be a servant to all. So obedience before the Lord. What does that mean to you and I? Well, I'm going to go through that real quickly this morning with you. Because obedience to the Lord has several things that are required of us. First of all, if you're going to have obedience, you need to have insight. Now, God doesn't expect you to follow him blindly, does he? He didn't expect Joshua to follow him blindly. He visited him through the angel of the Lord, and he began to speak into Joshua's life. He gave him specific instructions for his life. Joshua knew the commands that were given. Remember, Joshua went up the mountain when Moses was receiving the commands of the Lord. And so he understood the commands. He had lived by the commands. And so obedience for us, first thing we need to get is insight from the Lord. Now, you must know first who you believe. Can I tell you, you must have a personal relationship with Jesus if you're really going to be successful in your walk of faith. There's a lot of people that talk the name Jesus. There's a lot of people that speak and describe Jesus, but they really don't know who he is because they have not allowed him into their lives and not have allowed him to lead their lives from a personal perspective. Can I tell you, we as a church, we'll never be any more successful than we are when individuals in this church connect with Christ and have that personal relationship with him. And through that personal relationship, we connect with one another, which allows us to be in unity, which allows us to walk in the purposes that he's established us to accomplish for him. Man, I believe I've got this thing going on a little bit. You must know who you believe. But not only that, you must know what you believe. You want to know the greatest destructor of the church in America today is the fact that we're so illiterate to what God says for the church to do. Most people in America today don't read God's word. Most people, you can walk up to them in a street and you can make a quote and say the Bible says, and they will believe exactly what you say because they've not read the book for themselves. They've not established his word in their heart. And can I tell you, the angel of light comes across, or the devil comes across as an angel of light sometimes, and he'll give you something and he'll share a distortion. And if you're not careful, you'll buy into that distortion, and that distortion will corrupt your faith, and your faith will be led away from God and not to God. And so you must not only know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you must know his word. Jesus abided in the word. When he stood up, he says, the word of the Lord says. When the devil tempted him, he said, thus says the word of God, of the Lord says. You can't defeat the enemy by your own intellect and your own understanding. You can't win the battles that you're facing by your own strength. It is only through the power and the purposes of God existing in you through a personal relationship, and that foundation of the word that is standing upon will allow you to be able to have the insights to be successful. And that's what's required. Everybody hear what I'm saying? Say amen. Amen. Come on now, I want you to help me out here. I want you to get engaged because I think I want to see God open up heaven over your families and over this church. But we've got to know him and we've got to know his word. You also understand some things. You must realize that the knowledge of God's word gives you power. Gives you power and authority in this life. David understood this when he said, Lord, teach me your word. David understood this when he wrote those, penned those words. Your word is what? A light? A lamp? Meaning it will give you understanding in the midst of uncertainty. Have we ever lived? Have you ever lived in an era when it's been more uncertain? When there's been things going on that I don't know how we're going to. It is through God's word that we will overcome these things. Because you see, God has the plan. Everybody say the plan. Everybody say the plan. All right, I ain't talking about a plan. I'm talking about the plan. Because we got a lot of people that got a lot of plans. And they choose from a multitude. But can I tell you, I want to follow the plan because I know the plan will lead me to the places that I need to go. The psalmist penned, I believe it was David, who said, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So he's saying, teach me, Lord. I used to sing a chorus, show me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk with you. It's an old chorus. Anybody remember that chorus? And I think we need to go back and recite the word again and say, Lord, show me your ways, not my ways. My ways will lead me astray. My thoughts will cause me to walk away from some truths that you have for me. Lord, teach me, show me. Help me to show my children. Help me to reflect that to my church so that I can make a difference in their lives. Not only does obedience need insight, obedience must trust. Now, I got news for you. I guess I'm on the other side. I'm really struggling right now in a lot of ways. I'm trying to figure out how to walk into this empty nester deal. You know, my kids are sort of making their own decisions now. And, you know, I'm waking up and I love my wife, but I'm used to having more people around me. You'll deal with that one of these days. Yeah, you think you will be. You think you will be. I thought I'd be fine too, but I'm not so fine anymore. But what I'm understanding is I've just got to trust. I've got to trust that if I keep following Him, and sometimes trust is a wonderful thing, but sometimes trust is a difficult thing. Because then you got to, anybody dealing with uncertainty in your life, and you know, I'm not talking just from a political perspective or geographical, I'm just talking about from a personal perspective, you know, trusting in this thing when it's, you know, I love trusting God when life has been so good. I share with people that our family, of course, 2016, and I know all of us have gone through these things, and I don't mean to lament this, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but my family enjoyed so many wonderful years of really relatively, you know, little to no opposition and difficulty and loss. We went through 30 to 40 years where our family remained intact. Grandma, granddad, mom and dad, nieces, nephews, everybody was there. And then these last several years when loss comes, which everybody understands loss inevitably does come to your life, and trying to figure out how to deal with that loss and deal with sickness and deal with aging parents that aren't what they used to be and all these things, then the trust factor really becomes, you know, more difficult. Because you're God, I don't like the way that life is working out right now. I'm not enjoying this part. I liked it better when I walked in the blessings and the security of my home and my family and all remaining the same. I'm finding out when I go home now, home's not what it used to be. And that's where the obedience and trust, you know, he told these Israelites, you've got to leave some certain things. Now, can I tell you, even a manna that may be old to you, at least it was dependable. And the manna dried up. And the old folks that helped to lead you into the wilderness weren't there to lead you out of the wilderness. And then that's when you got to sort of take up the mantle and begin to trust the Lord with what he's instilled in you. And so you got to follow it anyway. And obedience requires trust. You must be willing to follow God's plan, even though there's some things that you thought would be there are no longer there. And some things that maybe you were counting on aren't able to sort of be there to help you along the way. You got to keep trusting the plan. And it's hard and it's difficult, and I understand that. But obedience, you must trust. They had to believe that when they stepped into the water that God was going to do something. He didn't give them a detailed plan that I'm going to stop the waters. He just said, step into the waters. And some of you, he's telling you to step into troubled waters. And you don't even know how God's going to do what he's going to do. But he's saying, trust me and step into the troubled waters. You see, you will not be able to understand everything. That's one thing that I've really dealt with this week even, and of course Jacob and Bethany are not in here, and I'm not an animal lover. I've got a dog, and he's a great dog, and he's got to be, or it wouldn't be much life for him. I'm just saying. But they lost their dog on Thursday. He just died unexpectedly, even though he'd been sick. They anticipated . And even though I didn't really care as much for Tyson, I didn't dislike him, but I just didn't have that relationship. Two things that really bothered me. One is that he really suffered, and two, and my kids suffered. And that bothered me. And I'm like, and it sort of piled on everything else that's been going on in my life. You know, the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing. And I had one of those moments this week where I'm like, Lord, I'm just getting tired of life being unfair. You ever felt like that? Am I talking to real people today? Can we get real in the church? And I just, you know, I've been, last night, I'm just saying, Lord, this stuff's just not fair. And the Lord says, you just got to trust me, Thurman. And sometimes trust has just got to be blind. You can't explain it. You can't understand it. You don't feel it. But you just got to be blind. You just got to say, I know in whom I believe. Like Job did, and I know I refer to Job in times of suffering. He says, you know, I know my Redeemer lives, and I know I shall see him again one day. He's saying, I may suffer, and I may go through things I don't understand, but I choose to continue to trust in my Redeemer. And sometimes you just got to trust him. It's a leap of faith, folks. That's what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we do not see. And sometimes faith is easy and sometimes faith is hard, but we just got to obey and trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Anybody want perfect peace today? Whose mind is what stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. So obedience must trust. And then also obedience models valor. Courage. Models courage. And here's a word. Everybody needs to understand what I'm saying. People are watching you. People are watching you. People are watching you. Grown kids are watching you. You said it was real, Mom and Dad. Let me see how real it is now. You taught me when I was a kid that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now life ain't so great for you. How is it now? You got to have valor. What is valor? You got to have courage, realizing that people are watching you. And people are going to see, and that's the problem with the church in America today, is we've become so much like the world, they can't even see Jesus. We say words that they, and it's bothered me to no end this week, where I've seen Christians, people that call themselves believers, getting on social media and gloating and connecting with hatred and anger. That's not what we're supposed to be about. We're telling them that the Bible says to love your enemy and pray for those that despitefully use you. And then we turn around and we act just like they do. It ought not be that way. What did Jesus do? That is what we need to model. We need to model his courage. And his courage says, I'm not going to exchange insult for insult. I'm not going to wish harm on someone else that wishes harm on me. I'm going to stand sometimes in silence when everything about me wants to just say something to defend myself. See, real courage knows when to shut up. Sorry, I don't mean to say that word. I know some people I'm trying to make a point here. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? Courage must be seen. And the courage of a Christian is not like the courage. You know, we've been taught in America that courage will stand up and will fight. And yes, fighting, but our fighting is on our knees. Our fighting is through the Savior, not through our own physical abilities. Because when we begin to fight in our flesh and blood, we begin to fail because the gospel gets hidden by our own malice and our own rage. And he's saying, obey me. That's why he put the ark before them. He didn't put the soldiers before them. Even when they went into battle in Jericho, anybody remembers who was at the front? It was the priests. It was the Levites. It was the ones that were the worshipers. When they went into battle, it wasn't always with a soldier and a sword. It was with the Lord before them. Why? Because the Lord goes before us and fights our battles. But if we're going to step in and try to do it ourselves, God will not intervene. Remember, courage is not the absence of fear. There's going to be fear. There's going to be uncertainty in your life. There's going to be apprehension. Anybody that says they're not scared is crazy. Brother Mutter, I visited many years ago. He's a World War II veteran. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Now, he's one of the sweetest spirits I've ever seen in my life. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. They say that was one of the most difficult battles in the history of American warfare. And he was right in the middle of it. And his words to me was this, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody says they're not scared is either stupid or telling a lie. That's what his words were to me. And we're going to be scared. It's okay. It's okay, Dustin. I know you're scared sometimes inside. I love Dustin. But I'm just saying, we don't like to. But yeah, hey, there's sometimes I'm fearful. Sometimes fear will paralyze you. But leaders must be out in front leading. And if we're going to lead, we've got to be the example. We can't expect others to go before us. God gave Joshua a command, but he also followed it. He followed it up with a promise. In Joshua 1 and 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God was with you on the mountain. I want to let you know this. At the best of your spiritual experience, God was with you. But he is the same God that was with you on the mountain. It's the same God that walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He does not change. He is ever present no matter where you're at. All you've got to do is just lean upon him and he will be there to sustain you. And finally, obedience means action. Stand with me this morning. Play Open Up the Heavens, please. Obedience means action. Get that words on the screen when I get ready to sing this song, Jake. And Bethany, anywhere around you, help me. I don't know if I can sing it low at one part. Real quickly. If you're going to obey, you got to know why. You got to know who. If you're going to obey, you got to trust. Trust has to be paramount. Okay? If you're going to obey, you got to have valor. You got to have courage. And all of those things will lead you to action. Lead you to action. Action proves belief. It can't just be lip service. It's got to be seen. It's got to be walked out. It's got to be lived. Go to the next one, Jake. You will never know unless you really try. You know, it really gives me a heartburn when someone hasn't even given Jesus a try and wants to tell me that it doesn't work. If you're not trying, don't talk to me. If you're not giving it, you see, you can't convince me otherwise because I have tried. And every good thing that has flowed out of my life has been a direct result of my obedience to the Lord in the times that I wanted to and the times that I didn't. You got to try. Talk is cheap. And here's the deal. Your action will lead to a chain reaction. That's what I want you to get a hold of. When they put that box on their shoulders and they stepped into the waters and the waters divided, they didn't just walk through that waters on their own. There were a million people that followed them through that river plain. And they went on and they conquered Canaan. I walked in Canaan. I walked in the land that they conquered. And yes, they failed at times, but they got up and they learned. And yes, they even turned their backs sometimes, but God never turned his back on them. And the same God that has been faithful. I love the scripture where he talks about if we're faithless, we would automatically assume that God is faithless. But the scripture says, and I'm paraphrasing, when we're faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. Meaning God will always be faithful. If you will return back to him, he'll always be there to accept you. If you will trust in him, he will be there to value your trust and build upon your trust. But you must act upon his promises and be obedient. Listen to the scripture. James says it in 2 and 18. But someone says, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works." My faith. We sang this song last week. I warned you I wanted to sing it. And this is an altar song today. And I want you right where you're at. If you need prayer, to come forward and receive prayer. But we want the Lord to open up heaven, don't we? So we're going to sing this song as a prayer. I want you to sing it. Lord, open up the heavens. I want to see you. Open up the floodgates. How many want God to open up the floodgates into your life? Amen. Listen to this song. Go ahead, brother there, Nimwell, and give me some music. All right. Hallelujah. I want an open heaven over my life, don't you? Hallelujah. We gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire
awaken and desire, we'll burn our hearts with truth. Your love reigns here, your love reigns here.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain.
Open up the heavens, open up the heavens, we want to see you.
Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain.
Keep playing. Everybody raise your hands right now if you can. Say, Lord, come on, say it with me. Lord, I want you to open up the heavens. Help me, Lord, to obey even when I don't feel like it's going to work. Even when I doubt. Even when I fear. Help me, Lord, to know you more than ever before so that, God, you can open up the heavens and let me see you. Now just begin to thank the Lord for his presence in this place. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Show us, Lord, your glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Come on, sing to him. Show us, Lord.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, healing every part of our brain. A mighty river flowing from your heart, healing every part of our praise.
Amen. I pray the Lord would open up the heavens for us. But the first part, we must obey. You got to obey. Know the Word. Know the Savior. Trust in Him. Have courage. Take action. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them to obey.